Good morning. We are celebrating independence, independence in country, independence of spirit today. And with that, I have a question for you. Do you like to dance?
Yes.
I'm talking to the right group. What kind of dance? Do you waltz? And you said you Charleston. I'm looking forward to seeing that later. Somebody told me that hippie dance. Two-step. Do the two-step. Jitterbug. Salsa. There will be an opportunity, by the way, before you leave today, to try it out. In the aisles, anytime, during today or as you're leaving after the peace song. And you may say, but I don't dance. And I say, if you can give me just one of these. You can dance. Then if you can add a little snap to it, with the head, that's a lot of coordination, then you can dance. And then you might just feel the zeal inside of you and you start giving it one of these. You know, you start putting a little swim technique. Yeah. Moonwalk. If you can dance with your eyes or move your finger or anything, then you can dance. But more important than that, if you can turn within and have that meditation and that prayer to that beautiful flute music, then you can have the most important dance of all, the dance with God and the dance of spirit. I wanted Eric to do that because in a couple weeks we're going to have some unity teachings that really parallel or connect with Native American teachings. And a lot of way that they communicate with spirit is they dance. Now we compare that to some other traditions that may think that dance is a sin. And I'll let you be the judge of that. You might think that we're a little bit weird here if you're here for the first time. And yeah. Yeah, we hope so, because what I'm talking about today is zeal inside of you that makes you feel like dancing. Or I heard somebody say that, I think there's a song, Wave My Hands Like I Don't Care, or something like that. Yeah, dance nobody, like nobody else is looking and all that kind of thing, because we want to cut loose in life. We want to be able to cut loose with who we really, truly are, and that's going to almost be like we have no right to do anything but dance when we live from that place. Our founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, I believe they were dancers. I don't know exactly. David, maybe we can research that a little bit, but I took this picture of a picture a couple days ago. It's in an office upstairs, and I had this framed for my mom's memorial because she was a huge Mother Myrtle Fillmore fan. And I look at this and I'm like, this is exactly what we are talking about when she says, God is the one perfect life flowing through us. God in the midst of us is a great steady stream. Steady. Renewing and cleansing and vitalizing life. God was the original detox. And we can have the use of this life if we will open up to the channels of its flowing and ourselves draw from this source. Amen, Mother Myrtle, right there. That's from straight from our founders, and I believe that they demonstrated that in everything that they did and in the way that they served with others. One of my favorite scriptures comes out of the Bible is Romans 12:11. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Now, there's a lot packed into these 12 words. First of all, it's saying, have zeal. Have zeal. Be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. So when you are serving each other, when you're putting others above yourself, and when you are out there taking care of your animals, and when you are out there gardening in your garden, Isabel, you are serving when you do it with intention that you know God is in it. To have true zeal, you got to know God is in it. And that's what entheos means. It means in God. God within me is what it means. And in spirituality is an old Greek word, but in spirituality it talked about this idea that when I realize that, when I awaken to that in this moment, then I have entheos right now. And it's like a circle a little bit, because I have to, God is in it no matter whether I realize it or not. No matter the broken pieces in my life or where I've been in my past, God is in it, but I have to raise my consciousness and my awareness to that fact and to that knowing, and it is there that I feel and understand the Christ nature that is within me. But when I show up like that, and then I have that enthusiasm, that entheos, then I develop yet more entheos. I develop more inspiration and passion in my life. So see how that's like a circle right there? Starting with that intention of entheos and then coming around and actually having more of that. Our kids teach us that. There's a movie called Footloose. And a guy I know pretty well directed it, Craig Brewer. I got to be on set with him quite a bit and have conversations with him. And he said, you know, I didn't want to remake Footloose because who needs another 80s remake? But in the studios, we're trying to get him to do it until one day he was driving across Lake Pontchartrain, a long bridge in New Orleans, or towards New Orleans. He got hit with a flash of light from another car, and at that moment it hit him how to make the movie. And how to make this movie about kids that are teaching adults something, helping adults to remove the shackles that they have based on some of their beliefs about certain things, such as dancing. It was a town that was full of grief because they had just lost some of their teenagers in a car wreck. So they went to the other extreme with it, and they said, okay, no more dancing. It's outlawed in this city or this town. And it really helped support some of their own beliefs that dancing was a sin. So in this clip I'm about to show you, let's see what he says about that and see if he's relating to my favorite verse about zeal.
In Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and let them praise his name in the dance. David danced before the Lord with all his might, leaping and dancing before the Lord, celebrating his love of God and celebrating his love of life. With what? With dancing. That's all we're doing here.
In Ecclesiastes assures us that there is a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to laugh and a time to weep. A time to mourn and there is a time to dance.
Do you think that when Texas declared independence, there was some dancing going on back in 1836? The idea Craig had here was he wanted to show people that music and dance can help lift our consciousness, to lift us out of a dark place. Another film that he directed called Hustle and Flow, he took on the ultimate challenge to be able to take people that were in a very dark place in the ghetto. And through clever filmmaking, all of a sudden we find ourselves pulling for the people to rise up out of the ghetto, whether they were prostitutes or drug dealers or whatever, through music and dance. So that's very effective. But I like what our kids are teaching us right here. And so first I want to have Sandy come on up here for a second, because I want you to talk about your experience with the kids last week for a couple of minutes. We call her Sunday Monday now, or at least I do, and everybody's wondering if you're going to dance in these shoes up here. But I call her Sunday Monday now because every day of the week, really, not just Sunday, but Monday, she's diving into Unity Principles and going deeper all the time. And, you know, I want to, did you see my tie? This is a St. Jude tie right here with little hands. I used to live next to St. Jude, and it was a big charity for the kids in that. So you got to spend time with some children, and did you see any enthusiasm or zeal with these kids during the week?
Yes, there's a lot of enthusiasm. Yeah. The kids, a lot of them coming together, supporting each other so open-heartedly. It was beautiful.
Did it rub off on you or the other adults?
Yes, it did rub off on me and the other adults. I believe all of the adults that were there, we just kind of stood back in awe and just watched where the youth of today are going to take us in the future.
Well, where are they taking us in the future? Is it bright or is it something else? What would you think?
Oh, it is absolutely, without a doubt, the answer that the world is looking for, where the youth are taking us, for sure.
Yeah. So what was a couple of keys that made you feel that way? Like, what's a couple of things that happen, or What was their energy like? I mean, we talk about being vulnerable and truly sharing from a place of love. Do you feel that was going on?
Yes, absolutely. They were definitely sharing open-heartedly and vulnerably, and it really gave me a much deeper understanding that Unity is a global awareness movement.
Amen. And
that was just beautiful for me.
Yeah, because it's one thing for us to talk about it up here from stage, but it's another thing to actually experience that. And so what a teaching by the kids.
Yes.
Did they teach you? I showed something last week called a social wall, and I'd like to hear about what in the world is a social wall.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, they asked all the students to write a social problem or a social issue on a piece of cardboard. Any issue that they felt needed to be addressed by maybe a group of individuals. So they wrote their social issue on the cardboard, and the leaders made a wall out of that. And so it kind of symbolized a wall that's a separation, that those issues separate us. So they did a reflective meditation, opening practice, and then they asked the students to go back and take a box off of the wall, and for the corresponding problem on the other side, write the solution.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. Now, so that idea would teach our world something.
Absolutely.
Do you think everyone would listen? Probably not. Well, it's kind of like in that movie, you could see the city council sitting there, and some of them are like kind of getting, and other ones are like, no way.
Sure.
So now the youth actually do the whole rally, because we support this rally at Unity of Dallas, and we help kids get there. Was that a little bit surprising to you, that all the kids could actually put on that huge event?
Yes, it was very surprising. In the first leaders meeting, the regional director said, "Now this is the kids' rally. We're just there to support them." And I didn't understand the extent of that until I went in and saw that the youth leaders, they plan, implement all of the devotionals, all of the activities, and all of the topics for discussion.
Are one of those leaders here with us today?
Yes. My favorite one is here today.
Come on up here, favorite one. Come on up here. This is Michael Summers, Jr.
Yes.
2.0. So, Michael, we are extremely, extremely proud of you today. I knew no matter what happened today, I had to get you up here to dance and break dance a little bit like we're about to watch. So really, kind of, what made you decide to do this, or what led up to it, and what was the experience like to actually, you know, because you spoke to everybody there,
yes.
You had to be really modeling the behavior. I mean, what was that like?
So I decided to run for regional officer, or we call it REGI. Last year, when I saw my friends that I grew with for 3 years run, and there was so much passion, and it just opened my eyes that, wow, I really want to do that. And Alex Spaller, of a lot of you may know, she was also a regional officer, and she's a close friend. And so, yeah, that was another reason I ran. And the process started in January when I announced I was running. And through that process, I made a lot of material to practice to see how it would be like when I would be a regional person. And the experience was absolutely amazing, because you run with seven other people, well, in my case, seven other people, and you grow and really connect with them, and I see them as my family. So even if I did lose, I would be okay with it because they were amazing people, and I know that they could have done the job just as good as I can. So, yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Well, I know that's a big responsibility. And is there, just quickly, is there anything we can do for you to support you?
Just love and support is the best thing, in my opinion, and yeah.
We can pray for you, too, if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pray.
Okay. Can we have enthusiasm and zeal?
Of course.
For you,
for of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And part of that enthusiasm and zeal could look like this, so I want you to stay up here and watch this with me, okay?
I need you to hold my jacket.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Back up, sweetheart, because I don't know how big this is going to get.
Tear up this town. Tonight I got to cut loose, loose. Kick off your Sunday shoes. Please, Louise, pull me off of my knees. Jack, get back. Come on before we crash. Lose your blues. Everybody cut for loose.
As a reminder, the stage is open after the peace song to get your spinning on the head down. Thank you, guys. Don't we have so much talent here at Unity of Dallas? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We really do have people expressing their artistic gift here all the time. And before I forget today, I've got to give a special shout out to a couple extremely talented people that I would be lost without them. And one of them is Carla Edwards. Raise your hand. These guys are going on vacation somehow. They got that in their thing. They get to go to vacation the next two or three Sundays. And also up in Upper Heaven sound booth is Robert Edwards. Thank you. And if anybody knows the answer to this next question, it would be Robert Edwards right here. That zeal is actually really is the real deal. What is zeal? The ability to be enthusiastic, passionate, as well as inspire and motivate. So it's not just enthusiasm. It's that ability to inspire and motivate and be passionate within yourself. And then that rubs off wherever you are. And that's from Power Up, written by Paul Hasselbeck from Charles Fillmore's teaching. Now, this is one of my favorite biographies right here. He knew the meaning of zeal, and he includes that part of enthusiasm. He says, it is the yeast, interesting, that makes your hope shine to the stars. Enthusiasm is the sparkle in your eyes, the swing in your gait, the grip of your hand, the irresistible surge of will and energy to execute your ideas. He just mentioned like three Unity 12 powers, three of them, right in there. Zeal is one of my very favorite of the 12 powers that we talk about here at Unity. Enthusiasm, Norman Vincent Peale, releases the drive to carry you over obstacles and add significance to all you do. Just in case you ever need to overcome another obstacle. Consider that God is in it And when you consider that, you can probably add a double dash of zeal to it right there, because it's a divine idea. And let me give you a refresher on what a divine idea is. Divine ideas are spiritual patterns that pertain to all of us, not just some of us, but all of us. Characteristics of that means it's inexhaustible, neutral, pluripotent, which means plural, means it's not fixed. It can expand into different things, but it's inexhaustible. I know some days you feel like that you don't have zeal, that you ran out of it, that you need to go to the store and get some more from Trader Joe's or something. But it's there. It's there. All you got to do is reconnect with God. So what does it look like for you? And just in case you can't think of anything right now, I have a couple examples. Because I want you to think what it means for your life. At Unity, we don't want you to turn your brain off when you come in here. We want you to be a thinker, okay? So maybe it looks like this. Yes! To life. I think that's Jim Carrey right there. Maybe you recognize this picture of what it means to be like zeal in love. Tom. Why did you do that? I saw this, actually, and I was sitting there kind of back and forth between that. I was kind of like, hey, he's in love. That's awesome. It's exciting. But the other part of me was like, oh, kind of like Oprah there, like, oh, this could mean something different for your career in the future, like that. You know, we used to have this huge singles program here and group, and I'm telling you, I think that I still see footprints in some of the seats from back then. But things have changed, haven't they, as far as this idea of how you meet love, how you find love, and exercising that part of your zeal. It used to be things like singles meetings. Now it's more like, how do people meet each other mostly now, I think? Online. And I wonder about that. Does it really create more separation because of the media world? I pulled up the other night, and there was a group of people in a circle standing there at the entrance to my complex, and they were all just on their phone the whole time I was driving by. I didn't know if it was a new game or what, but they were all on their phone. And maybe they were on a, you know, a dating site. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to tell you, it's okay. People do that now. But how many dates can you get on singlefish.com before you realize, is that what it's called? Wait, I always say that. It's plenty of fishies in the sea.com. Okay, excuse me. Yeah, I don't think that would work for me. Because I would want to get in that first date, that first impression, I'd want to get so metaphysical with them. I would want to say, first of all, everybody can dance. You know, so, you know, get up and dance. It's like the minister of Miami who told us at the conference when David and I was there that everybody can salsa. And she had this cool accent, and she said, salsa. You can salsa. So she got over 450 ministers up. Dancing. Now, if they can do it. David Mauro, I've never seen a version of salsa like that. But it was great because before long, nobody cared. And it was awesome. The second thing I'd probably do at that first date is get pretty metaphysical and say, you know, we got to be in divine flow. I mean, if we're going to hang out, there's a divine flow and you got to, you know, there's got to be spirit and theos you know, it can't be just like, you know, the site, plenty of fish, only dead fish go down with the flow. There's much more than that. And all of a sudden, she's looking for exits.com, exitsrus.com. I mean, if every one of those dates that she says, the date says, where's the bathroom, and they never come back, it's probably me. You know, so at some point we have to take responsibility for our relationships with everyone. And also, what's your learning, zeal in learning? The people that I know that are 80, 90, 100 years old that have zeal left, that realize the best is yet to come still, is because they're learning. They're always still taking notes, and they're up, and they're active, and their spiritual entheos is very alive. Just like that guy. Okay, so that's sports zeal, right? So we all know that as Cowboy fans, amen. Zeal can inspire. Who are you inspiring today? Supportive and uplifting zeal. So who is that up there? It's the 14th Dalai Lama, and he was ranked in 2013 as the joint most popular spiritual leader who knows a little bit about freedom. From the year 1642 until sometime in the late 1950s, he was the Dalai Lama was always the leader of the government in Tibet until the war with the Republic of China, and that changed. But even after he left, and was exiled into India, he was always about freedom. That's why he won the Nobel Peace Prize right there. And I should mention that this is Rashmi Varma, who Cynthia Hine brought here to Unity. So she's a Dallas native there with him. And they got to travel to northern India where she was going. And she said something very interesting I want to read to you, because the journey was surprising, it was challenging, difficult. But she said, as a good friend said to me, keep yourself open to chances, serendipity, and exploration. You will find the most wonderful things there. That's the adventure that I think that she was talking about, Myrtle Fillmore. So your challenge then is, do you zeal consciously and consistently? If you're overdeveloped or underdeveloped, you may need to think about that a little bit. Overdeveloped just means you're taking on too much. You're not going deep enough on your path. Underdeveloped might be that just lacking that motivation. You know, just walking around in life, you don't want to be my friend, do you? You don't want none of this stuff. I'm selling over there, my company. Yeah. All right, so where are you? Let's find that sweet spot. Zeal and the sweet spot right there, absolutely. And it's for me, mountain climbing, or actually rock climbing, was one of my ways to get out and express that. Now, I just found out there's a video out there that a guy just climbed El Capitan for the first time solo. Very first time, they said it was impossible. And so in the video, he's got his little thumb holds, and he's going up. And, you know, I don't know that that would be overdeveloped zeal for me to try that. But on the left, that's me. I did climb that one, and that's overlooking in Colorado, and where America Beautiful was written was right next door to that, absolutely. So maybe you, this is not your path up the mountain, but you are free to take the path that is right for you, that you resonate with. One of the things that Marcus brought out, which by the way, you were on the stage a year ago, I think we're developing a little bit of a thing as you read out Francis Scott Key. But on Friday night, we talked about vision boarding. Now, vision boarding is a way to put down on the board drawings, sayings, pictures that you vision to have and to be. And there was a lot of zeal and passion in doing this. And I love the story of Courtney, who is right there at the bottom right, and little Skiden's poking her head out. And she was telling me just as she was cutting so calmly, and she said, you know, I had one of these in Hawaii, one of these vision boards in Hawaii. And the thing is I wouldn't let Eric see it, her partner. But he wasn't her partner then. And so she would hide it when he would come over, because it had things like being together and things like having a baby. So I'm telling you, watch what you put on your board, right? I hope that you knew that story, actually, or did I just reveal that? Okay. We can talk about that later. Carol Hayes was talking about in her vision board that she did before, that before she could even get the stuff out of the bag that she has picked, it was coming true. Amazing. Because it's magical. This is Naraya's board. Thank you for letting me share this. This is Naraya's board. But the magic. A lot of people are talking about this idea of enthusiasm and life being magical and what we're talking about today. And there's a little bit of a close-up on that. And before I close, I got to tell you that, speaking of talented, seasoned, ripened performers, well, that's a good thing. That means it's in its prime right there. So there's Bob Goodwin, but this is yesterday. And the reason I bring this up is because there's something about Unity that believes in this idea of celebrating and zeal. It's in our DNA. And this was a tough couple hours here because it was the memorial for Billy and Rona Black, for Rona Black. Actually, what I was going to say about Billy was that, you think about a couple, if ever there was a couple that had names that means zeal, that a name, Rona and Billy Black, right? And but I got to tell you that I was blown away. I mean, I was so moved by that service. It was absolutely, I was telling Kim, I don't even have the words for it because there was so much passion there in that room. There was so much motivation and inspiration, the definition of zeal, because you guys sang, Kim, I didn't know you could sing like that actually, so we got to get you up here more. But it was incredible, and there were tears, but there was laughter, lots and lots of laughter to truly celebrate life. So I want to close with a little picture I took of that incredible service and the bulletin that you guys had. Now, your mother was a big Scarlett O'Hara fan, wasn't she? And she said that she had everything Scarlett O'Hara had except what? Rhett Butler. But then she did have Rhett Butler because he said his favorite memory growing up was when she put Bo on the couch with your older brothers, yes, on the couch. And then what did they do together?
They danced around the living room to all the country western music.
And yesterday we got to sing the Tennessee Waltz and The Dance by Garth Brooks. So thank you for blessing me for being there. And thank you for being an expression to the world that we talk about here at Unity like so many people do. So thank you. So I'm going to close with this affirmation by that metaphysician known as Scarlett O'Hara. Fiddle-dee-dee, tonight I'm going to dance and dance, and you are free to dance. Thank you.
You could not leave this place today without enthusiasm.
Thank you, James.
Beautiful.
Now for the grand prize. We're going to welcome all the newcomers and guests. If you will hold up your hand.